This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is Riyad Ruzazi welcoming you to the series walking with the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. I hope you're all doing great, inshallah ta'ala. We started this series. This is episode number nine, walking with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. As I keep saying, this is not basically a seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam, but it's more of it's a seerah combined with the actual, you know, shama'il of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and going deeper than just the shama'il, but going deeper is by learning more about Prophet Muhammad as a person, as a leader, as a husband, as a son, as a father, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, my brothers and sisters, last week we were talking about the preparation, the divine preparation before the prophecy, before the first revelation to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. And we talked about, you know, some divine preparations, one of which is the greetings from the rocks and the trees, as Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam will be walking on in the streets, and then he will hear Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. He will be hearing Assalamu alayka from, and he did not know where that salam was coming from, because he will turn and then, you know, there was nobody there. But later on, alayhi salam, when he will receive his revelation, he would know that actually with the trees and the rocks sending salam upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the other preparation was his visions, his dreams, but visions, the night dreams. Prophet Muhammad would have a vision in at night, and then that vision during the day would happen exactly as he saw it the night before when he was sleeping, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, he liked seclusion. He liked to seclude himself from the business of Mecca, right? And then he would find a place where alayhi salatu wasalam would maybe seclude himself and go and do this ibadah that a lot of people really have neglected today, the ibadah of pondering, the ibadah of meditation and contemplation, contemplating the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And for that, he found or he discovered a cave, right? He discovered that cave called Ghar Hira. So this is so far what we talked about last week, Ghar Hira, and what he used to do in Ghar Hira, and also the person that used to go to him when he was in Ghar Hira, because during, you know, that last the few months before the revelation, he would spend nights there. He would not go back home. So Khadija radiallahu anha used to bring him food. Fatima was still a kid, so she would, you know, take her kid, you know, she would take her daughter, and they would go, and she would bring food to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She would stay with him, you know, at night. And they used to stand either, you know, or you know, either in the cave, or the Prophet will come down and meet her by this, what it's called today, Masjid al-Ijaba. It's a place not too far from Mecca. They built a masjid today called Masjid al-Ijaba. So Prophet Muhammad would meet Khadija there, you know, during the night. And then during the day, he would go back to the cave, and Khadija radiallahu anha would go back home. This all happened before the first revelation. So, most according to the majority of the reports and narrations, is that on the night of the 27th of Ramadan, on the night of the 27th of Ramadan, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sitting in the cave of Hira by himself, contemplating. And all of a sudden, somebody came in. A person came in which he did not know who he was. which he never seen before. That person comes, enters the cave, and tells something really strange to Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. He comes and then he hugs him so hard until Prophet Muhammad was about to choke, and then he tells him, read, iqra. Imagine Prophet Muhammad is just sitting in this cave, contemplating, because there is this opening from this cave, and that opening has a view towards the Kaaba. So Prophet Muhammad is just sitting there, and then comes this man who hugs Prophet Muhammad. He's never seen him before. And then he tells him, read, iqra. Prophet Muhammad would tell him, ma ana biqari, I don't know how to read. He was illiterate, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the man, one more time, for that second time, he hugs him again, so very hard. As he comes into him, wearing white, holding a book on a tray, telling Prophet Muhammad, read. And then Prophet Muhammad tells him, I don't know how to read. As he's holding this tray with the book in it, then he hugs Prophet Muhammad until he was about to choke. It's not like he just hugs him. It's just like Prophet Muhammad says, I couldn't even breathe. Then he releases him. And then he says, iqra, read. For the third time, Prophet Muhammad says, ma aqra, what should I read? I told him twice, I don't know how to read. But then he keeps telling me, read. What should I read? And then the man started saying, iqra, iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaqa al-insana min alaq. اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Up until here, read. These are the very first, you know, ayat that were revealed upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you would imagine how Prophet Muhammad would feel very terrified, scared, confused. And then, as he started reading, and he finished reading, and then he disappeared. He didn't even say, this is who I am, salamu alaykum, this is who you are. He just tells him, read. And then when he finished reading, he just disappeared. Prophet Muhammad got so scared, so terrified. He came down running from that mount, going down, as you know, I've explained last week that to go up from this from the bottom of the mount Jabal al-Nur, from down to the top, it takes about an hour to an hour and a half. Coming down is as hard. So Prophet Muhammad comes back down running, and then he goes to his best friend. He goes to Khadija radiallahu anha warda. What does he tell her? He comes in sweaty, breathing so hard. Khadija, zammiluni. He goes, just like, you know, when you're scared, you know, like you were sleeping and then you see a nightmare and you just want to cover yourself. You know, you want to cover yourself. So Prophet Muhammad tells her, zammiluni, cover me. She covers him. Radiallahu anha wardaha. Does she leave him? Just cover him and then, okay, we'll talk to you later? No. Does she ask him questions? What happened to you? Where did you go? What happened? Why you're out of breath? Why you're scared? Why you're terrified? She's not asking no questions, nor she leaves him, but she stayed there with him to try to comfort him. Sisters, listen. This is very, very important. She just sits and listens. She covers him. Most likely, or probably she was holding his hand. The hadith, they don't say that Prophet, you know, she was holding, they don't go to those details, maybe, you know, that she was holding him or hugging him or whatnot. But I would suspect that she was most probably holding his hand. He was scared, or maybe touching him, you know, or maybe caressing him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. his wife, your husband is scared, then if I tell you, cover me, cover me, cover me, you just cover him and then salamu alaikum, see you later? No, of course not. She would be staying there. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told her the story. Khadija, this is what happened to me. I was there in that cave. You know the cave? You used to come and see me in the cave. I was there, just contemplating. All of a sudden, this man comes in from nowhere, holding a tray, has a book, tells me to read. I don't know how to read, I told him. Then he hugs me until I'm about to choke. And he tells me, read, read. I don't know how to read, I told him. And then he hugs me for the third time until I was about to choke. And he tells me, read, iqra, iqra, read. Then I said, what shall I read? And then he started narrating stuff I've never heard before. Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqa al-insana min alaq. Iqra, wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi allama bil-qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. And then all of a sudden he disappeared. Oh, Khadija. Khadija, I'm so scared. I think I've become possessed. Khashitu ala nafsi. Khashitu ala nafsi. He says, I'm scared. I'm scared about myself or myself. Yes, he thought he was possessed. Maybe some jinn. Who is this man who comes and disappears all of a sudden? Tells me to read, 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 and then he just disappears. The Prophet was so scared, terrified. Did she interrupt him? No, she did not interrupt him. She did not interrupt him. Radiallahu anha wa ardaha. As I said, the story, most, according to the most authentic reports, happened on the night of the 27th of Ramadan. The night of the 27th of Ramadan. And that was when the first ayah was revealed. Laylatul Qadr, the night of the power. According to the majority of the hadith, on the 27th, the night of the 27th of Ramadan. Prophet Muhammad saw Jibreel. But he did not know he was Jibreel. In fact, he saw him twice in his physical, essence, in his physically, because Prophet Muhammad used to see Jibreel in many forms, but in his physical, actual form, he saw him twice. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبَكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى ذو مرة فاستوى وهو بالأفق الأعلى ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أعلى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى أفتمارونه على ما يرى ولقد رآه نزلة أخرى عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى. He saw him twice. The first time in his physical form, because when Prophet Muhammad received this revelation, he was scared. He did not see Jibreel in his physical form yet. But he was wondering who that man was. He spoke to Khadija. And here is a magical love recipe for all the sisters. If you want your husband, if you want the key to the heart of your husband, or husbands, one. Husbands, meaning I'm talking to the sisters here with their husbands. What if I'm talking to you, then your husband. Right. So if you want that key to your husband's heart, brothers and sisters, magical recipe from Khadija. Khadija radiallahu anha, I'm going to share with you three magical recipes. Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha, she listened to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. She listened. She did not interrupt. Your husband comes to tell you a problem or some hardship he's going through. I told you. I told you. Didn't I tell you, but you don't listen. You don't listen to me. You see what happens to you now? You see? You've been sitting in that cave. And I told you, be careful not to go to that cave, but you did not listen. I told you not to hang out with those friends, but you didn't listen. You never listened to me. Huh? This is why your husband, maybe he never comes to share with you things with him, because any time he tries to share something with you, you hit him on his head. Why shall I share anything with you? Why are you not going to believe me, or are you going to give me a lesson? I might as well just go to my friends who listen to me. Huh? I might go to my friends who listen to me, and then we can chat. We can, you know, they can at least give me a good advice. But every time I come to talk to her about anything or the problem or whatnot, she, you don't listen. You just try to blame me. Right? Didn't I tell you this is wrong? This is this. This is like you're talking to your kid, for God's sake. You know? Listen, sometimes we need to listen. Yeah. We have two ears, sisters, two ears, brothers, two ears, and one tongue, 1 month. Only one mouth, right? One mouth and two ears, meaning listen more and talk less. Yeah, right. Maybe you may say, why men don't listen, huh? Yeah, there's a book called Why Men Don't Listen. Yeah, so who should listen now, huh? Listen to each other. But here I'm talking to the sisters. You know, Khadija radiallahu anha, she did not interrupt Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. She listened. And then after he finished talking, and then she says, Allahu Akbar. She says something amazing. Kalla! No, لن يخزيك الله أبدا. No harm shall happen to you. No, don't be scared. Don't be afraid. And then she started talking about his akhlaq. Amazing. Look at this amazing, brilliant woman. This is why Prophet Muhammad never forgot about Khadija. He was so loyal to her. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She, you know, after he finished talking, she did not interrupt. And then after that, she said, كَلَّا لَنْ يَخْزُيَكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا. No harm shall happen to you. No evil can happen to you. Why no evil can happen to you? And then she started talking about his akhlaq, his qualities. Number one, she says, إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ. You tie the ties of kinship. Those of you who've come in late, please go back and watch the session from the very beginning. Watch it from the very beginning, because especially those who are willing to get married or who are married, understand something about your spouse, about your husbands. Here's Prophet Muhammad and Khadija. Kalla, لن يخزيك الله أبدا. Allah will never let you down. Why? No harm shall happen to you. Why? Then she starts talking about his akhlaq. First, she tells him, "You are such a good man. Why? Because you uphold the tie of kinship, tasluh rahim. You uphold the tie of kinship, وتحمل الكل وتكسب المعدوم وتقرأ الضيف وتعين على نوائب الحق." She's saying just beautiful things about, you know, about him, things that are mostly about his akhlaq. Number one, you uphold the ties of kinship. Number two, you help the needy and the poor. You host the guest, and you help people who are, let's say, people who are being abused, who have been wronged. You help them. You assist them. خمس صفات, she talks about five attributes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, Prophet Muhammad, he hears that. Now she's trying to comfort him, so he is, you know, he is not as terrified as he used to be. He was very, very scared and terrified and confused. Now from 0 to 10, maybe he was 10, now maybe he is 8 or 7, but still he's confused. He still does not know what to do. He still does not know who that person came. Okay, this is all good, because I thought some harm must have happened to me. But my wife, she came and she stood by me and she supported me by giving me a beautiful, comforting talk. Yeah, sisters? A beautiful, comforting talk to her husband. To her husband. So she walked the talk. She walked the talk. Sisters, this is why I said a magical love recipe if you want the key to the heart of the husband. feed them is just like sisters. This is, you know, feed them and all this. This is just, for me, is nonsense. Yeah, feed them. You got your heart, feed them. You can feed them today, tomorrow, but I want something that lasts. You know, feeding is not some. It's not really gonna go into the kitchen. Your husband, yeah, feed. You know, this is like, huh, yalla, ha, feed. But it is. I'm talking about some core. Feed. He says, if you don't feed me, I can go and eat anywhere. It's fine. But the life. This is the dawam, continuous life. I want that harmony. I want that harmony. I want that prosperity in my life. I want that peace. Some husbands are willing to pay money just to get that peace at home. Stop the fight, stop the argument, stop the nagging. Every time he comes home, nagging, riding. So it's not just, you know, feed him. La, I agree, I disagree. Feed him. I'm telling you, she listened to him. And then she supported him, she stood by him. I'm there for you. I'm there for you. And she started talking about his akhlaq. But then she continued. Yes, that was just an introduction. And then she continued. What did she do? She took him to her cousin, Waraqa ibn Nawfal. He was in his 80s, late 80s. A man, he could be a lion out there. But at home, he could turn into a bird. He needs somebody who sometimes really needs to listen to him and comfort him. And this is, you know, you can make your husband turn him like a ring in your finger. Wallahi. You could turn him like, you know, like you have a ring. You could turn him as you wish in your finger. If you only know the key to your husband's heart. So she listened. She supported him. That's number two. She helped him steadfast. She helped. So help your husband steadfast. Tabbit. That's why sometimes some sisters say, my husband does not like to, you know, he doesn't come home. He comes in home late, he this and that. And then I wonder, wondering, why would a husband come late to his home? Why would a husband avoid coming home? Why? If he was happy. If he was happy, would he really avoid to come home? I know some husbands who can't wait to go to their homes and spend time with their families because they're happy. They're happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, when you make adhan, you go, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, al-falah, come to falah. Success. You could be successful in your business. You could be successful in your business, but you may not be successful at home as a husband or as a wife. You may not be successful, you know, you could be successful in your trade, but not successful with your children as a parent. Hayya ala al-falah. Al-falah is success, the true success. So why would this husband not like to come home or avoid coming home? Maybe he's not happy. Maybe every time he comes, this is just always fights and nagging and problems and whatnot. I'm just going to, you know, avoid. Maybe. I don't know. There's so many things. So she helped him steadfast. She helped supported him. Radiallahu anha wa ardaha. And then she was talking about his akhlaq. Talking about his attributes. Brothers and sisters, akhlaq, the morals, the character of the believer. This is something that will get you close to the Prophet Muhammad in Jannah. This is something that will get you the highest level in Jannah. Husnul khuluq. Husnul khuluq. The good character, the good morals. This is something that puts lots of weight in your mizan. What puts weight in your mizan? What's put you know, weight in your scale in the day of judgment? Husnul khuluq, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the utmost, the most thing that bring people into Jannah, that gets people admitted to Jannah, husnul khuluq, as the Prophet Muhammad says. What's with that beard? What's with that tobe? What's with that kufi? What's with, if you have bad morals, if you have bad manners? What's with your hijab? What's with your niqab? واسود العبايا. If you are going with ghiba and namima, if you speak bad, if you speak foul language, if you have good, you know, bad morals and bad character, what's with the hijab and niqab? What's with the tub? The tub which is very short, mashallah, right? You know, and all this and all that, right? And your Quran and your hadith. But people, they don't like to mingle with you because you have bad akhlaq. You have bad manners. You have sickness in your heart. Your heart is sick. Heart is sick. Yes, heart is sick. Filled with hatred and envy and grudges and hasad. حسن الخلق. أحبكم إلى الله أحسنكم أخلاقا. The most beloved, you know, towards you, to follow Allah Azza wa Jalla, are those who have good khuluq. So she was talking about the attributes of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. And then, sisters and brothers, she took him. She walked the talk. Where did she take him? She takes him to her cousin. ورقة بن نوفل. And then they started, you know, Prophet Muhammad started, you know, telling ورقة what happened. And ورقة is listening and smiling. And then after he heard him, he says, because Prophet Muhammad, he wanted to know who that man was. Who that man was who came to tell me about, you know, to read, who came and hugged me and told me, read. And then he disappeared. I want to know what happened to me. Yes, my wife, you know, helped me. She helped me stood fast. She talked to me about my character and all this. But at the end, I still need to know who that man was. Waraqa listens, and smiles. And then he says, إِنَّكَ لَنَبِيُّ آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ. You're indeed the prophet of the, you know, the final messenger. You are the prophet, the final messenger. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ النَّامُوسِ. And that who came to you is النَّامُوسِ, يعني جبريل. Who came to Musa before you. Allahu Akbar. Now he's interpreting, you know, what the Prophet saw. He saw, you are indeed the Prophet of the final messenger. And that who came to you is An-Namus, is Jibril, the one who came to Musa. وَإِنَّ قَوْمَكَ لَيُكَذِّبُوكَ. And he told him, number three, he says, your people, they will not believe in you. وَيُؤْذُونَكَ. They will harm you. وَيُخْرِجُونَكَ. وَيُقَاتِلُونَكَ. أَمُخْرِجِيَهُ. Will they kick me out? My own people will kick me out? Yes, they will kick you out. Anybody who came in what you came with, their own people kicked them out. Their own people tried to harm them. Some got killed by their own people. So anybody who came before you, any prophet who came before you with what you are coming with, found hardship by their own people. And then he goes, لَيْتَنِي أَكُونُ فِيهَا جِدْعًا. إِذْ يُخْرِجُوكَ قَوْمُكَ. I wish I was strong. I wish I was young. When your people will kick you out, I wish I was young. Why? To help you steadfast, to help you, to support you. Imagine Prophet Muhammad is listening to this. He's listening to his to this interpretation coming from Waraqa bin Nawfal. You are the Prophet, the final messenger. That who came to you is Jibril, who came to Musa before you. You are خلاص مكمل الرسالة. You are the one, the final messenger. Allah Azza wa Jalla has chosen you for this mission. And I wish I was young so I can support you while when your people kick you out and harm you. My people? Yes, your people. And then Prophet Muhammad left after he heard. Now there's so many things happening. This is why Jibril, he came and disappeared, and he did not come to the Prophet Muhammad. He did not come back again. There's so much happening. He gave him time to grasp all that is happening to him. He goes back with Khadija, and then Waraqa called Khadija. He told her, help him steadfast. Oh. ثبتي, help him steadfast. Support him. Whatever man, how powerful and strong he may be, He needs a support. He needs help. And the best help that can be provided for him is from his wife, if he's married. From his, the one who completed him. The one who completed him, his wife. The best support you can find. The best help a man can find. That person who can listen to you. Yes, you also, she needs a shoulder to lean on. The husbands, they also need a shoulder to lean on from time to time. He can give you that shoulder, but he also needs it. Although men, they don't like to say it. Although men, they act machos, like, I don't have, but inside, they, they are like little kids. Yeah, you know. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're little kids. They know there's a little kid inside every man. That little kid wants to come out from time to time. And have fun. And have fun. Waraqa conveyed the message. And subhanallah, a few weeks later, Waraqa died. He passed away. Prophet Muhammad saw him in Jannah. Khalas. He conveyed his message. Prophet Muhammad saw him in Jannah. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam started missing Jibreel. He wants to see him again. So he would go out into the desert looking for Jibreel. Maybe he will come again. Brothers and sisters, are you there? Facebook, Instagram, are you there with me? Are you there, brothers and sisters? Huh? Last Malai and who has disappeared for thousands of years. Are you guys there? And those on Facebook, are you guys there? Yasmin, she's mashallah there and taking notes. Huh? Morkani is there. Alhamdulillah. Khalid Tuzani, ya marhaba, ya marhaba, mashallah. Natural beauty secrets. All right. All right. I just wanted to see that you guys are there. Coco Murad. All right. Mashallah. So, Prophet Muhammad missed Jibreel. He started going out in the desert, trying to seek and see if he can see Jibreel again. A week later or so, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in the desert, and then he saw Jibreel, but this time he saw Jibreel sitting on a throne, يَسُدُّ الْأُفُقْ, covering the horizons. This is the time where he saw him in his physical form. The first time, when he saw him in his physical form, he saw Jibreel on his throne, covering the horizon. He looks right, he sees him. He looks left, he sees him. He looks up, he looks down, he sees him. He covered the horizon, calling him, Ya Muhammad, Anta Rasulullah, Wa Ana Jibreel. Ya Muhammad, Anta Rasulullah, Wa Ana Jibreel. O Muhammad, you are the Prophet of Allah and I am Jibreel. O Muhammad, you are the Prophet of Allah and I am Jibreel. The very first lesson Jibreel taught Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam is how to make wudu. Allahu Akbar. Really? Yes. So Jibreel comes down with his wings, 600 wings. Jibreel, 600 wings. With the tip of one wing, he lifted the entire tribe of Sadum, the people of Lut. He lifted them up into the sky and crushed them into the ground with the tip of his one wing. He has 600 wings. He comes down, hit the ground with his wing, sprang out some water. And then he taught Prophet Muhammad how to make wudu. Awwal dars, the very first lesson. Ya Rasulullah, you do this. No, three, now you start making wudu. He taught him how to make wudu. And then he taught him how to pray. Yes, he taught him how to pray. The actual prayer will happen, you know, when he goes into al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. الإسراء والمعراج, then we'll have four, you know, two فجر, four, you know, it will be five prayers, right? Five prayers, two, ظهر two, مغرب two, عشاء two, عصر two, فجر two. So five daily prayers. But then when they will migrate to Medina, that's when Fajr will become two, and then Dhuhr will become four, and Asr will become four, and Maghrib will become three, and Isha will become four. But initially, Jibril alayhi salam will teach Prophet Muhammad how to, you know, make wudu and how to pray. And the time, the prayer was one prayer, two rak'ah during the day and two rak'ah during the night. In fact, the prayer that was mandatory at the time was the night prayer. And Prophet Muhammad learned as-salah. As-salah, 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 al-amud. The foundation of this deen, the foundation of our religion is salah, amud, the deen. Those who don't pray, what are you going to tell Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Day of Judgment? Those who pray and cut, pray and quit, those who don't pray five times a day, those who don't pray on time, those who collect the salah and just pray all the salawat together. Huh? What are they going to tell Allah Azza wa Jal? So the very first lesson Jibreel taught Prophet Muhammad is how to make wudu and how to pray. And then more ayat started being revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Al-Muzammil, and then He revealed Al-Muddathir, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed Surah Al-Fatiha. So far the Prophet alayhi wasalam learned how to make wudu. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam learned how to pray, turaka. He has the Fatiha, he has Al-Muzammil, he has Al-Muddathir. And then, brothers and sisters, for about a month, Jibreel disappeared. Prophet Muhammad worried. Where is he? Why is he not coming down to teach me anymore? Have I done something wrong? Have I done any shortcomings? He became worried, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So worried, so concerned, so sad, so disappointed, thinking about himself. Maybe I did something wrong. That's why Jibreel has not come down to me no more. And then all of a sudden, few months later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 2 months later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed another surah to comfort the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is that surah? What's going to happen after that? What would the Prophet do? Who is or who will be the first person who will embrace Islam and onward? We will talk about that inshaAllah ta'ala tomorrow, bi'idhnillah. Tomorrow inshaAllah we will talk and carry on talking about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel will not give the Prophet Muhammad the plan. It is Prophet Muhammad who has to come up with a plan. Prophet Jibreel gave him the tools. Prophet Muhammad gave him the tools. He gave him wudu, taught him how to pray, and Allah revealed certain ayat. All right, now it is up to Prophet Muhammad to come up with the plan. How are we going to convey this message? Am I going to go to the Kaaba and destroy all those idols? What am I going to do? He needs to come up with a plan. What is that plan? We will talk about it inshaAllah ta'ala tomorrow, bi-idhnillah. Jazakum Allah khair, brothers and sisters. Of course, praying the first, you know, on time, you know, praying on time, it is, you know, the reward. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, you know, praying definitely on time, you know, praying, you know, combining the salah without any reason definitely is a sin. Combining your prayers, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr, Isha, Maghrib and Isha, combining without any شرعي reason. شرعي reason يعني reason that is appropriate according to the Sharia. If you do, if you combine salah without any reason that is, you know, according to the Sharia, it is a sin. It is a sin, right? So as-salah, 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 as-salah. Right? As-salah. Jazakum Allah khair, my brothers and sisters. And the salah, by the way, it is that link between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. How can you, you know, you want Allah's help and support, but you don't pray? You want Allah's help and support, but you don't pray? You want to call for His help, but you have no connection in your phone. You want to make that call, but you have no connection on the phone. So likewise, you wanna make dua, but you don't pray. How can Allah Azza wa Jal help you and, you know, and guard you and protect you? The salah is not for Allah. The salah is for you, right? The salah, it is for you. It's not for Allah Azza. You are the one who is in need of the salah. We will talk more about the next revelation. We will talk more about Prophet Muhammad and his first mission and his plan and what would he do, inshaAllah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair again, my brothers and sisters. This is Riyad Wazazi. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Barakallahu feekum. Those of you who've come in late, this is recorded on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube. Go to YouTube. Subscribe to my channel. You will watch all the series, all the sessions live. All of them, they're there, inshallah ta'ala. And then come and then share, you know, with your friends and your loved ones. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakum Allah khair.